This podcast is brought to you by Harry's. For guys like you who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to harrys.com and get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code Science Friday when you check out.
This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. This hour, our Halloween edition of Science Fright Day. We're digging up the spooky side of science, from experiments conducted in haunted houses, to why our brains hear some songs as scary. First up, we're going to unwrap a few mummies, the artifacts left in a mummy's tomb. And its perfectly preserved body can reveal a lot about its life. But those wrappings that keep the mummy intact for thousands of years? Well, they can also make it harder to examine. But undeterred, two art museums in St. Louis teamed up with a group of radiologists to get under the skin of three of their Egyptian mummies. My next guest was one of the radiologists on that team. Sanjeev Bala is a professor of radiology and section chief of cardiothoracic imaging at Washington University's School of Medicine in St. Louis. And if you want to see a scan of that mummy called Henet Wedjibo, it's our photo of the week. You can see it on our website at sciencefriday.com/mummy. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Bala.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk about why did you choose this mummy?
Well, it was actually chosen for us. The assistant curator at the St. Louis Art Museum had contacted our department to do a scan of three different mummies in honor of a reinstallation that they're planning in 2016.
Mm-hmm. And so they have been actually x-rayed before?
Yeah, one of the mummies had been x-rayed before, and we did the x-rays here when our hospital was known as the Jewish Hospital in St. Louis. And then another one of them had a CT scan that was performed at another place.
Mm-hmm. And so what more information are you looking for now?
Well, we were hoping to try to get an idea of if the mummies had any coexisting medical conditions and if we could get any idea as to what contributed to the mummies passing away.
Mm. You've scanned a lot of live patients before, correct?
A lot.
These are your first mummies.
These are my first mummies, and certainly my oldest patients that I've scanned to date.
Oh, that's the inside mummy joke, I guess. What? Any special precautions or considerations you need to do when you're planning scanning a mummy versus a person?
Well, yeah, it was a very interesting experience because one of the biggest things that we had to grapple with was trying to make sure that the mummies would fit in the scanners. The scanners have a very limited diameter, and though we've got some experience with imaging patients with all different dimensions, it was the first time that we had ever put a sarcophagus inside of a scanner.
The whole thing, you didn't take the mummy out of the sarcophagus.
Well, two of them came out, and one of them was left in the casing. The last one that we did had this very regal, the kind of wooden casing with painting on the sides, and it was really something spectacular to see in person.
Why choose a CT? Why choose a CAT scan instead of an MRI that most people get these days?
Oh, that's a great question. We actually were thinking when we first got together as a team back in July, many members of our department were trying to think what would be the best technology that we could throw it into the mix and try to get the best information on the mummies. The problem with MRI, though, was that MRI, being a big magnet, interacts with metal. And we weren't sure if there was any metal underneath any of the casings or under any of the wrappings that would interfere or possibly get kind of thrown by the magnets. And we also knew that there'd be a lot of gas, and we weren't sure if the gas would interfere with scanning with an MRI.
Yeah, you took the safe route. That's a good idea.
That's the story of my life.
You were able to detect a brain in one of those mummies, were you not?
Yeah, it was crazy that we were told that one of the mummies, Henet Wedjibu, had a brain, which was unusual, as you know, for many mummies, because the mummies would often have their brains removed before the embalming process. Many of my women friends have reminded me that it was the only woman of the three mummies. The other two were guys, and they had no brains. But what shocked, I think, all of us was that the brain was very recognizable. It was smaller, and it was filled with gas, but it was clearly a brain, and it was pretty well preserved.
Yeah, and as just a reminder to our listeners, they can see a scan of Henet Wedjibu as a photo of our week on our website at sciencefriday.com/mummies. Did you detect the heart or any other major vessels in the body?
Well, that's the big thing that we were looking for. As you mentioned, I work a lot with cardiac imaging with my colleague Pam Woodard, who is on the team. And we were aware of, as you may know, the mummy legend, which is that at their time of death, the belief was that the mummy's heart would be weighed against a pile of feathers, and the result of that weighing would determine who would get to go to the netherworld and who would be eaten by a monster. And so we expected to see the heart very readily. A lot of the research up to date has talked about atherosclerotic disease of the heart or hardening of the arteries. Mm-hmm. And so we were really expecting to see the hearts very easily. I have to tell you, we're still looking. We think we've got some candidates, especially in Henet, but it's really tricky.
Well, don't you know where the heart should be? I mean, is it there or not there? You're a cardiologist.
I don't want to be casting aspersions on all my teachers up to date. They certainly taught me where the heart was. But I will tell you, it's amazing how much water contributes to what we see in the human body in modern medical imaging. And with all the water removed, gas has really taken over, and you can see a lot of air throughout the structures. And so structures that should be readily identifiable, and I promise I can identify them in a live patient, we had trouble seeing, like, the kidneys and the liver and in all three mummies, the hearts.
And you could detect, could you not, what Henet may have died from?
Well, we have a couple of potential causes. One of them was that we saw a lot of calcium throughout the lymph node glands throughout the body. And that's something in the modern era we see a lot in patients who've been exposed to tuberculosis. And so one of the questions that comes up is if tuberculosis played a role in her passing.
And from the CT scans, you could see details of their teeth and their bones, I'm sure.
Amazingly so, yeah. It was kind of interesting because I just assumed that the mummies would have bad teeth, right? It's the era before toothpastes and modern dental care. But the mummies, at least two of the mummies, had phenomenally good teeth, and you could easily recognize the bones. And it was actually very easy with Henet to even imagine what her face must have looked like because the facial bone structure was so crisp and clear.
Now, she died at a young age, did she not?
She did. She did. And she was a singer in a royal setting. And you could actually kind of imagine what she must have looked like. We uncovered some glass-looking beads. And at first, we weren't sure if it was packing material or not. But as we began to look at it, we realized that these beads were probably part of either some sort of a headdress or possibly braids or a wig. It was really kind of amazing how much detail was in that headdress.
From the condition, the great condition of the teeth and the bones, did that give you any clue about what her diet was?
It certainly must not have been Halloween candy because it was just beautiful. We suspect there is some thought that it might have to do with either the materials that they ate may have had some hard grains within it that may have helped to kind of mechanically clean the teeth. That Lisa Chakmak, who's the assistant curator at the St. Louis Art Museum, was sharing with us that there may have been some elements of their food that may have helped kind of clean out the spaces between their teeth, and that may have contributed to their great dental hygiene.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to take a wild stab at this, but if you were a queen or somebody of royalty, could you not have a royal chewer for you? If it's tough stuff that you're eating, you know, pre-chew?
It sounds like it would be good. Where can I sign up?
So this actually isn't the first piece of quote-unquote art that you've scanned, is it? Where you've scanned other artistic things before.
Yeah, we actually had the pleasure. My colleague Costa Raptus and I, a few years ago, got contacted by the museum to do a scan of a Western African statue where the question was whether it had been in any way refurbished or if it was intact. And that's where we got a chance to experiment with using CT scans with different energies. And using the different energies, we were able to show that it had different materials. It was pretty interesting.
Now that you, did you find metal there? I guess I'm asking, if you didn't find metal, would you now put her through an MRI to see other things that you might have missed with the CT scan?
Well, it was kind of fascinating because in the third mummy that we had scanned, which was Amenhotep, this was the one that came in the casing. Yeah. Underneath the wrappings, we think we found a metal scarab that was just attached to the front of the body. That mummy had undergone grave robbing, but we were able to see this one piece left. And so it's interesting. We did find metal in one, but you raise a good question about what our next Halloween project might be. To do scanning using another modality in the other two.
And how about any further mummies you have? Any waiting to be scanned? Is there
so
a lineup?
The waiting room is clear. No lineup.
It's a
just
quiet
yet.
Waiting room. Oh, I need a rim shot when I talk with you. That's great. There must be a lot of Halloween jokes today, right, when you're dealing with mummies?
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting because one of my residents in training was telling me that he was going to dress up as a mummy for Halloween, and it put it all into quite a different context.
Yeah, well, you've got the materials, and nothing left over, I'm sure, from the scan.
That's true.
Well, it's been great talking with you, and good luck on future scans. We'll check back with you, okay?
We appreciate it. Thank you very much for including us. Have a good holiday.
You too. Sanjeev Bala is a professor of radiology and section chief of cardiothoracic imaging at Washington University's School of Medicine in St. Louis. I think he opens at the Comedy Club next week. No, he doesn't.
This podcast is brought to you by Harry's. They're an innovative company that's disrupting an industry we've all had to pay into and endure for years. Let's talk about razors. For years, guys have had a poor experience shopping and paying for overpriced razors. Harry's focuses on giving guys a great shaving experience for a fraction of the price, half the price of other razor blades. They have high-quality blades engineered in their own factory in Germany for sharpness and strength. Plus the convenience and ease of ordering online so you can skip the razor aisle. Each kit includes a razor handle, 3 blades, and your choice of foaming shave gel or shave cream. Go to harrys.com today and get $5 off your first order with a coupon code Science Friday. That's harrys.com, promo code Science Friday.